All right, I guess we'll get started. Okay. Good morning, everyone. How's tech day so far? Good? Cool stuff? Good. Just coming from the Belgian one, we had a good time. It was nice. And I'm very happy to be here in the Netherlands today to show you those sessions. We are going to talk about advanced Windows Phone 8 development. What does advanced mean? Well, basically, I expect that people here have already touched Windows Phone 8 development before. I'm not going to explain what XAML is. I'm not going to explain what the emulator does. You should know that. And then we are going to do some pretty fun stuff, actually. We are going to talk about the differences, well, some of the differences between Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8. Mostly, you could say that the Windows Phone 8 development platform is a movement of convergence towards the Windows 8 development platform. So you will see that they added some features which really help to cross the bridge to Windows 8. And it's a clear movement, so don't be confused by that. Clearly, we are going towards one single development environment for Windows Slate and Windows Phone, okay? Which is great because finally we can write code which will run everywhere. For those of you who are interested in the Tech Days in Belgium, I gave a session about writing code for both platforms using portable class libraries. I know that this talk will be put on Channel 9, so that's going even further here. Today we are going to concentrate on Windows Phone 8 really and do a little bit more. Add some features to that development environment. And, but definitely you will see that for those of you who already did some Windows RT development, some Windows 8 development, there are definitely some big similarities. There are some compromises, unfortunately, mostly because of the legacy Windows Phone 7 support, so that your applications can be ported to Windows Phone 8 easily, which is really mostly recompile and then you have all the new features. But of course, it means that some of the language, there are some differences in the language and in the framework. Windows Phone 8 introduces async and await, which is kind of a big deal if you do a lot of asynchronous development, which you should because it makes your applications more responsive. Okay? As soon as you connect to the web, everything is asynchronous. So now we have some possibilities to use the async and await keywords in order to make this flow a little bit more easy to read and a little bit less event handlers, a little bit less callbacks, which are kind of annoying to write. So async and await is pretty cool. If you have a Windows Phone 7 app and you run it on a Windows Phone 8 device, is going to run as is. If you open it and port it or convert it to Windows Phone 8, most things are going to run as is. There are a few APIs which are deprecated, so you should think of moving that to the new APIs, notably maps. I'm going to show you some mapping a little bit later. So maps have evolved quite a lot now, and you have really a lot of new features with the new maps. The old map is still working, but you should think of porting that to the new one. And as I said, porting an application to Windows Phone 8 is mostly effortless. It's really about opening, converting in Visual Studio, building, and mostly it runs. And then after that, you have all the new features that you can have. In terms of numbers, Windows Phone 8 is quite quickly overtaking Windows Phone 7 in terms of numbers of devices. So, you know, it's probably a good time of, you know, thinking about doing a Windows Phone 8 application, and then you have all the goodies of the new platforms that we'll see in this session. So without further ado, I'm going to jump quickly in the demo. I have quite a lot of code to show you. Oh, actually, I had one more slide to show you. Let me see. Right. Yeah, I'm just going to show you that slide just so that you know what is expecting you. So we are going to talk about a few things. We are going to talk about NuGet, so how to use NuGet to add dependencies to your applications. That's very convenient because you don't have to hunt for those libraries anymore. They are all in one convenient location. We are going to talk about JSON, well, quickly, really. Mostly it's about adding JSON.NET and then parsing. JSON is very, very easy to use on Windows Phone. And in the past few years, I think couple of years, most of the APIs that I have been talking to are talking JSON. So it's really a good idea to use that. It's very convenient and useful for mobile. We are going, of course, to talk about MVVM a little bit. So you will see how the application is structured, how it is architected. And you have this nice separation of concern. Design time data, those who know me know that I'm a big Blend fan. Blend lives further, even though you might have seen that the expression Blend was, let's say, tuned down quite a lot. But Blend definitely lives further. Blend is also now integrated into Visual Studio for most features, not all features, but most features are there. So there is one code base, one designer, and if you use the standalone Blend, then you have, in addition to what you have in Visual Studio, you also have all the animations, all the visual state editing, and all that. Blend is automatically installed as soon as you install Visual Studio, and automatically installed for the Windows Phone when you install the Windows Phone tools. So I definitely recommend using that. We are going to do some speech. Speech is very easy to enable on the phone. In both directions, have the phone talk to you, and you talk to the phone, so we'll see that. We are going to talk about NFC, the near-field communication sensor, which is pretty cool because it allows you, by simply tapping devices, to pair devices, to exchange data between devices. We'll talk about background tasks, which are a great way to do some work periodically without your application running. So it's just a small task which will be started for a few seconds, but mostly it's enough to connect to a service, to do some work, show some information to the user. And we'll do some mapping because location is pretty cool. Personally, I think it's really my favorite feature in a mobile phone is that I know where I am and where I have to go at all times. I remember my first GPS back in the days, but having that now in the phone is really a big thrill. Okay, so this time let's jump to the demo. So here I prepared, if Visual Studio wants to come, here we are. So here I prepared an application, and really mostly what I did is found new project, new MVVM Lite application. So if you install MVVM Lite, you have your templates directly here. And there are templates for multiple platforms, notably Windows Phone, which is interesting us today. And then I added a few things. We are going to recap that code. Now what I want to do is connect to a web service, which is delivering a list of friends in JSON. And this web service is returning data with that format. So here I have the postman. I'm going to here get friends. And this is the format that I get. So I have one object which has one property called data. And then I have an array of friends. Now this is one friend. You have first name, last name. It has an ID. It has a picture. It has a location. Some of them have a location. And it has a message, which we are going to use in the demo. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit sick, so I'm going to cough a little bit during the session. I hope it's not too disturbing. So now the first thing I want to do is prepare my files, prepare my my application to deserialize this JSON into some objects. And I'm going to do that in a class library because later we are going to have to use that class library from a different DLL because of the background tasks. We'll talk more about that in a second. So this part of the model is something that I'm going to use from the background tasks. So I'm going to create a new project. I'm going to select here a Windows Phone class library. Let's call that phone demo.model. Here we go. And of course, I need a reference from my application to that phone demo, so I'm going to add here my reference. I'm going to remove here this class, and instead I'm going to add a new class, and I'm going to name that list of friends. Now this is the object which has a data property. So I'm simply going to pull that. And now you see that I'm using here JSON property, which is a JSON.NET attribute. So I need to pull JSON.NET into that DLL. And to do that, I'm going to use NuGet. NuGet is really quite convenient. If you want to install it, you go to Tools, Extensions, and Update. And here you can search for it online. And here is the NuGet Package Manager, which is what you want to use here. Make sure that you have the latest version, especially if you work with portable class libraries. The previous one had some issues. But here, 2.1 or 2.2 is the latest one nowadays. So now I have this menu, Manage NuGet Packages, which I can execute. And I'm going to search for JSON.NET. Hoping that gods of internet are with me today. It's very slow. So the first one here is JSON.NET. I'm going to install that. And what it does is pulling all the DLLs and putting them into a folder named package, or packages, actually. Okay, so now I have JSON.NET here, which means that I can use it. Here we go. And then the next thing I'm going to do is create this friend class, which is going to be used for deserialization and as part of my view model. So I'm going to add a new class, call it friend. Let's make that public. I don't understand why it's not public by default, but anyway, somebody at Visual Studio likes us to type public for some reason. So now I have my friend, and I'm going to make that a view model base because I'm going to use some of those features. So view model base is an MVVM Lite class. So same thing as before, I'm going to add here MVVM Lite to this library, and I'm going to use NuGet because it's convenient. There are three packages of MVVM Lite which you can use. The first one is complete. This is not the one I want because it's adding some code also. Here, what I want to use is just the libraries. And there is also a portable class library package for those of you who want to write compatible code here. So now I'm installing the libs. Here we go. And which means that I can use now the MVVM Lite libraries. Now inside my friend here, I want to have my ID. This is a unique ID for each friend. I want to have first name. First name is an observable property, so I'm raising the property change event, okay, which means that in the course of the application's runtime, this value can change, so I want to update my UI accordingly. Same thing for last name. I'm going to decode here the URL for the picture and the location. Now those, I don't plan to edit them in the application, so I don't make them observable, just to keep things simple. And this location is a string. If you check it here, you see that the location is a latitude and longitude with a colon in between, so I need to parse that. So I'm just going to add here a property which is going to help me to parse the location directly. And I'm going to store that as a point, if I can. Here we go, a system windows point. And I want my culture info. OK, then there is a message. The message is something that the friend entered, which is going to be read to me. And finally, I'm going to add a property isDirty, which is simply going to help me to change the UI with some red background or whatever if the friend has been edited and not saved yet back to the service. Now, this one is ignored by JSON.NET, so I'm not going to serialize that. It's just for my own usage. And finally, I add here an update method. This one is going to be a utility method that we'll use later when we do NFC. Okay, so now my model is pretty much ready. Now I'm going to worry about the services. And the first thing I'm going to declare is an interface called iData Service. And this is defining the contract of what I need to connect to my web service. The first thing I have is get friends. And notice that those are returning tasks off. Okay, so what I do here is that I'm making those methods awaitable. I'm going to be able to use the await keyword when I call that method, which is helping me, because like this, I can consume the return value immediately without having to have a callback like we did before. So I'm going to return a task of iList of friends, so that's the list of my friends. Then here, the saveFriend method is taking a friend. It's going to send it over the wire. Then it's returning the ID of the friend. It could be a new friend. In that case, it's a new ID. Okay? Or it could be an existing friend. And in that case, it's just returning the same ID, just to be sure. Okay, so now let's implement that data service. So I'm going to add a new class. Call it data service. Oops. Public. Here we go. And this is going to implement iData service. Here we go. Let's implement the members. I'm using ReachHopper here. It's quite helpful. So the first thing I'm going to declare is the URL of the service. And the URL is quite simple, really. It's taking a code. It's nothing really secret, but it's just to avoid that, you know, anybody and everybody is hitting my service for nothing. Then I'm going to have the keyword action, and then I'm going to have the action itself. You can do a get, a reset, or save. Save would be a post operation. All the rest are gets. Then I pass a seed. The seed is just to avoid caching. It's just so that every time the URL is going to be new. And like this, the phone is forced to hit the service instead of getting the data from the cache. So I'm just passing datetime.now.ticks as a seed. Okay, the getFriends method. What I'm going to do here is use HTTP client. Now, why do I want to use HTTP client? So in the phone, normally we use web client. But on Windows 8, we use HTTP client now. It's a new API. And it's actually easier to code for, and honestly, I find it nicer than the web client. So on Windows Phone 8, by default, you cannot use HTTP client, but you can add it. Microsoft has released a library. It's still beta, so if you don't want to use that, no problem. You can use something else. You can use the standard web client. But if you're interested in what's new and shaking, you can pull the HTTP client from NuGet. And then you have all the goodies of the new features, such as await and async, and all the new API. And plus, you can write compatible code with Windows 8, which is interesting for later if you want to port your application. So I need to pull HTTP client from NuGet. And like I mentioned, it's a pre-release. So here you have to include pre-release if you want to see this library, okay? Which means that it's probably not totally production ready. I'm going a little bit on a limb here, but this is easy enough to replace with web client if you want to absolutely use something which is absolutely ready for production. Okay, it's pulling a few dependencies. And eventually it's ready. So now I can use here this HTTP client. And the thing which is really nice is that now I can do the getStringAsync method, which is awaitable. So I don't have to do the download string completed like with the web client. I can directly call as await. Now, since I'm using await, I need to make this method async. And here we go. I'm going to format the URI with a few constants. Those constants are used by my web service as well. So it's the same. I'm going to use the same file here. So let me pull that constants file. Data constants. Here we go. And finally, I'm going to deserialize my JSON into a list of friends, objects, and then I'm going to get the data, which is the actual list, and I'm going to set all the friends, the isDirty flag to false, because I'm freshly loaded from the web service. So there are no special things here. Now the save friends method, first thing I'm going to do is create an HTTP client. I'm going to format the URI, it's the same URI as before, except I'm using save. I'm going to convert my friend, the updated friend, to JSON using JSON.NET. And then I'm going to create here string content with the JSON. I'm going to set the media type header value to application.json. Okay. And finally, I'm sending that over the wire with a post to my web service. Again, because this has a wait here, I need to put a sync here if I want to be able to build. So now my service is ready. And now I can worry about the view model. Let's open here the main view model. Now in true MVVM Lite fashion, this main view model is the data context of the main page. Okay? And I'm going to have here the data service injected into the view model by an IOC container. So again, this is a true MVVM Lite fashion. When you do file new model, new project, new MVVM Lite application, you get that immediately set up for you. Here in the view model locator, which is one global object, this is where I do my setup in the static constructor here. So here I'm registering the data service as an iData service, which basically means every time you need iData service, please use that class. And then I register here the main view model so that later when I do get instance, it's going to create the objects and it's automatically going to inject the data service inside the main view model instance. Okay, what I need here is a collection to hold the list of friends, so I'm going to use an observable collection. I'm going to initialize this observable collection in the constructor, simply create it. And then I'm going to add a few commands. So the first command I want to add is refresh. Now refresh is going to simply call here the refresh method, because the refresh method is awaitable. I can await it here, which means that my lambda must be asynchronous, must be async. Okay? So that's a nice way to declare asynchronous commands. Then I'm going to add the refresh method. The refresh method is going to connect here to the data service, get the list of friends, clear the collection, and then do a for each to add them new. This guy here will worry about it later. Now I want to show an error, if I have one, using a dialog service. This is an implementation of what I call view services, which means that my view model, without knowing the view, without knowing how the dialog service is implemented, is going to be able to use it with an abstraction. So I'm going to create an iDialog service interface. So we go here. I like to put those into helpers. Add class. Actually, I'm going to add an interface. Let's call that iDialog service. And iDialog service is going to have a few public. Is going to have a few methods here, such as show message, show error, etc. Notice that I'm returning a task here, so I make those methods awaitable. The reason is really Windows 8. When you want to share code with Windows 8, in Windows 8, showing dialogs is mostly asynchronous, while in the phone it's not. So you don't really need task in the phone, but if you already have it, then you can port your application to Windows 8 in an easier manner. And it really doesn't matter. If you don't await the method, it's fine. The compiler is not going to protest. Okay, so now I have my iDialog service, and this iDialog service, I'm going to create it to inject it in the main view model, but not in the constructor, but rather as a property. Service get. Then I'm going to return service locator dot current dot get instance of I dialog service. Why am I using a property and not like here for the data service injecting in the constructor? Well, it's because the dialog service may change during the course of the application. Like on the phone, typically I do the page itself implement iDialog service. So I have my main page, which is an iDialog service. Then when I navigate to the page, I register the page. When I navigate away from the page, I unregister, and then I wait for the next page to register itself. Okay? So during the course of the application, it's possible that this iDialog service is going to change, which is why every time I pull it new from the service locator. Now, this process that I described of registering and unregistering, you can actually put that into a base class. So here, if you go to helper, I have this phone page base, which normally lives into an assembly that I'm reusing in all my applications. And this phone page base is an iDialog service, and it implements the dialog service here by showing a custom dialog. So, of course, I don't do that in every one of my pages. I have the page base here for that. And then after that, my main page here is, as you can see here, is a phone page base instead of being a phone application page. Okay, so now we have the dialog service. Now we can worry about the next command, which is show details. What showDetails is going to do, it's going to navigate to a special page which is showing the details for a friend. So here too I need a view service. I need a navigation service. So again, like before, let's implement that. So I'm going to do helpers add interface I navigation service. And the navigation service is going to be quite simple. It just has three methods, which are go back, navigate to a page, and navigate to a page with a parameter. And here, too, I'm using the same interface in Windows 8. So in Windows 8, you can natively, without doing anything special, you can pass a parameter to the navigation service, and then in your page, you can retrieve that, which is very convenient. On the phone, you cannot do that, but I'm going to show you how I handle that. So now I have my navigation service. I'll need to register that into the IOC container. So let's go into View Model Locator, where I do here my setup. I'm going to register, here the navigation service. Here we go. So I'm just creating here a new one. That's an interesting error. Oh, right, sorry. I went a little bit too fast. I need to pull the navigation service here, and I'm going to, this is also a class that normally I put into a separate assembly. So here I prepared it as code, and I'm simply going to pull it. Here we go, et voila. Okay, so how does the navigation service work? Well, what I do, let me just put that in the correct namespace. Here we go. What I do here is that I'm going to take the parameter, and because I can only navigate with a URI, I can only pass text to my destination page. It's kind of silly. It's probably an oversight of the Windows Phone team. They didn't think that it would be more convenient to pass a parameter. Then the Windows 8 team thought of that. And now in Windows 8, we can pass a parameter. Now in Windows Phone, what I do is that I create here a key as a string, just a new GUI ID. And then I'm registering the parameter using that key inside the IOC container. So I'm caching it just temporarily. Then I navigate to the page using the key as query string. And then inside the page, in onNavigated2, I'm going to retrieve the string from the query string, retrieve the key, and then I'm going to retrieve the parameter from the IOC container using that same key. And then I assign this parameter as a data context of my details page. Okay, so every time I navigate, I do this caching. Okay, so now we have the navigation service. We understand how it works. So I'm going to inject that into my constructor. The navigation service never changes during the course of the application, so I can inject it directly. I'm going to create here a field to store that. And then I can use it safely here into my show details command to navigate to the details page. Okay, next command and last command, but not least, I want to be able to save. So saving is going to take a friend. It's going to save the friend using the data service method. I get an ID back as a string. I'm going to parse it, and then I'm going to assign it to friend.id. It might be a new friend, okay, in case you create a new friend on the phone and send it. Then you have to save the ID. Otherwise, you're going to get the same ID than you sent. I also have the dialog service in case there is an error. Okay, so now let's do a little bit of UI. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to create here a few buttons in my application bar to trigger those commands. So the first one on the main page, I'm going to add a refresh button. If blend, let me do it. Come blend. Interesting. Here we go. Okay. Let me just save everything and see if I can build. I should be able to build at this point, just to make sure that that blend has the latest versions of everything. So since I have the same files open in Blend and in Visual Studio, it's very critical to make sure that you always have the latest. So think of saving often. Think of saving all, Control-Shift-S everywhere. And you will see that there is a small bug in Blend where, unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't refresh. I will show you that because I'm sure the bug will hit. So sometimes you just have to close the project and reopen it. I'm going to talk to the Blend team about that. Okay, now, first thing I want to do is add here a refresh button. So let's go here, application bar, right click, can do add application bar icon button. And then Blend is proposing me some icon, so I'm going to choose here the refresh icon, set refresh as the text, and then I'm going to create an event handler, refresh click. Now, as you probably know, you cannot bind to an application bar button. There are some workarounds in the community. There are some libraries that you can use. Personally, I just create here a small event handler. And for this event handler, I'm going to get the data context, cast it here to main view model, and then I'm simply going to call vm.refresh command.execute, which is pretty much the same than if you had a binding to the command. It's going to do the same thing. Okay, now, in the details page, I'm going to have a save button. So let's open the details page. Here we go. I'm going to go same thing, application bar, right click, add application bar icon button. I'm going to use the save icon. Here we go. Save, and same thing as before, oops, I called that save clickle for some reason. Let's fix that. Here we go, and now I'm going to get rid of this typo here, and I'm going to use save click instead. Now what save click is going to do, it's just a little bit more complex because I want to update the binding before I do anything else. Now, it's a trick on Windows Phone that if you have the focus in a text box, the bindings are going to be updated on focus lost. Okay? So when you lose the focus, then the binding is updated. Unfortunately, pressing on an application bar button is not removing the focus from the text box because the application bar is a system component. So it's not going to remove the focus, it's not going to update your binding. So if you are editing something and you want to make sure that the binding is correct, that's the code you want. You get the focused element. If it's not null, meaning there is really something and it is a text box, you get the binding expression, and then you call update source on the binding. This is forcing my data, my view model, to be updated. And then I'm going to do save command.execute. Notice that I am passing here a parameter because the save command expects an object of type friend, so I'm going to pass that directly. Okay, so now we have save, and now we can start doing some design. So here in Blend, I'm going to go to the main page, and what I want to do here, so the first thing I'm going to show you is that in true MVVM-like fashion, the data context of this class is data bound to the main view model. Okay, that's pretty standard nowadays. I'm going to add a list control here to the panel, and I'm going to use a long list selector. Now, this is the list control of choice in Windows Phone 8. Okay, so the list box is still available, it's still going to run, but you see that if I type, well, no, you don't see here, but you don't even see it in the list here. So it's really hidden nowadays because they don't want you to use listbox anymore. They want you to use long list selector. The long list selector is much better for performance, so you won't have those annoying scrolling issues that we had in the early versions of Windows Phone 7. And also it has some additional features like headers or grouping or stuff like that. And it's part of the SDK now. It's not in the toolkit like in Windows Phone 7. So now I'm going to add a long list selector. I'm going to make it take the whole space, reset layout. And then I'm going to bind the item source to my friends list. So create data binding, and then I can select the friends list. Now, unfortunately, nothing happens on the screen because I didn't set up any design time data. Okay, so let's do that. I want to see some data in my list in Blend so that I can do my design visually. So I'm going to go back here into Studio, and I'm going to create a new folder that I call Design. And into this folder, I'm going to create a new implementation of my data service. And I'm going to call that Design Data Service. This design data service is going to be public, and it's going to implement iData service. Let's implement the members. Now, really, the only method I care about here is the getFriends method, because in my design time, I'm not going to call saveFriends, so I'm just going to implement this guy here. And what I'm going to do is create a new list of friends, set here some dummy data, and then I'm going to set each second friend to dirty so that I can do my design on one friend and I see the opposite, the alternate design on the other one. It's just for convenience. I'm returning task.fromResult because this method expects a task, but I don't need to make it asynchronous because it is actually executed synchronously. Okay, now in my main view model, in my view model locator, I need to register that design data service. So I'm going to register it with the IOC container in case I am in design mode. If the code runs in Blend, I want the design data service instead. Okay? And then in my main view model, let's just navigate to that. Inside the main view model here, in the constructor, which is somewhere here, I'm going to force the refresh method to be called, but only if I'm in design mode. Okay? Good, so now let's build that. Here we go, going to switch to Blend, and now you see that I have some design time data appearing. So far it's not very appealing, but we are going to make a template for that. Now, I did actually prepare a template already, so I'm going to apply it as soon as Blend is finished reloading. Here we go. Edit additional template, edit item template, apply resource, and then I'm going to select this template that I prepared. Here we go. We have first name, last name. But in addition to that, I want to show the picture, so let's do that visually. I'm going to edit current. Here I have a cell ready for the picture, so I'm going to go and take an image control. Image, let's add it. I'm going to set the source through a binding. And notice how convenient it is. I have here my friend, and I can select here the picture URL. And now I see visually some pictures that I pulled from the internet. This is what I have set up in my design time data. So of course I can do some design now on this image. Like for example, let's make it auto-sized, and I'm going to put a little bit of margin, 10 pixels and 10 pixels. Here we go. Now I can add also another element. I'm going to add here a rectangle, which I put behind the image. Going to make this stroke null, the fill red, and this is going to be the marker for when the is dirty flag is true. 8 pixels, 8 pixels, here we are. And now what I'm going to do, I'm going to bind the visibility to is dirty with a boolean to visibility converter that I already prepared into my application. And now you see that I have every second friend is dirty, but the other one is not. So this allows me to visually see how it looks like and maybe to change the design. Okay, now the design of the details page is going to work a little bit differently because I'm assigning the data context in code behind. Remember, when I navigate to the page, here I get the parameter, and then I assign it to the data context. Now, Blend is not going to run that. Okay, Blend doesn't run any code behind. So we are going to pass a design data context to Blend. So let's prepare that. The first thing I want to do in my model object, in my friend here, I'm going to add the default constructor, which is going to be used by Blend. Here we go. So this design constructor here is used only in design mode. I'm going to set up this data. I'm going to build. And then in the details page, I'm going to tell Blend, when you are in design time, when you are running that page, please use that object as your data context. And to do that, the syntax is... Where is my details page? Here we go. The syntax is like that. You do D data context, so design time data context equals an object. D design instance. The type is, and notice that IntelliSense is helping you, VM friend, okay, comma, is design time creatable equals true. So what I'm telling to Blend is, at design time, for your data context, please use an instance of type friend, which you can create. And because it's XAML, it's going to use the default constructor automatically. Okay, so if you have multiple constructors, the design constructor is a default constructor, always. Okay, so now this is ready. Let's jump into Blend. It's reloading. And now we are hitting the small bug that I mentioned. You see that my design time data doesn't appear. There is a small bug here. I don't know what it does. It doesn't reload the assembly properly. I'm going to pass that bug to the Blend team, but quickly here, what I found effective is closing the project and reopen it. Annoying, but unfortunately, bugs live in software, like I think we all know, right? Okay, now I have my design time data. You can see my first name and my last name appearing. So here too, I can add an image. and do that quickly to the page. Here I'm going to set the source through a data binding, picture URL, put it on the side, no, leave it on top rather, and then I'm going to put 24 pixels here and 12 pixels on top. So you see that it's pretty convenient. The dirty flag here I'm going to also, same thing as before, I'm going to bind here to isDirty. Here we go with a boolean to visibility converter. Et voilà. Okay, so design time, fine. Now let's talk about NFC. NFC is pretty fun because it allows you to tap devices together, okay, and do something. Like, for example, a typical action between phones is when you tap them, they will pair the Bluetooth, and then you can send pictures or videos, for example. That's a standard. So, for example, I do that with my wife's Android. Yes, my wife has an Android. Yes, it's a source of discussion in our household. Well, it was, at least. I gave up. But anyway, so when we tap our phones, we exchange pictures. That's pretty cool. Now, this slate here has NFC inside. So I'm going to use it as my target for the data that I'm going to pass. What we are going to pass here is just a string. So let's build that string. This string is going to be a serial representation of the friend. Here we go. So I have these two string methods that I override. I'm simply going to return some information here with comma separated. I have the friend constructor. That would be when the phone is a recipient. So I can create a new friend based on that serial. Then I'm going to add a method to my main view model here. And this method is going to be update friend, so that when I get a new friend, which is in serial form, I'm going to create that new friend. I'm going to check if I already have such a friend according to the ID. If yes, I'm going to update it with the new data. If not, I'm going to add it to the list. Now again, this is when you get a friend, right? So what I did in my Windows 8 application is that I have exactly the same code, one-to-one, running in the Windows 8 app. And like this, when I receive, like I'm going to demo now, then it's going to work like that. Now I want to send the friend, so I'm going to need a proximity device. Proximity device is the actual sensor, the actual NFC sensor. I'm going to get the proximity device using get default. Now in some cases the device may be null. What it means is that there is no NFC chip on the phone that you are addressing, if it's null. I didn't find a way to detect if tap and send is enabled in the settings of the phone. There is a setting in the phone that needs to be set to on if you want to send. Unfortunately, at this point, and I asked Microsoft already, I didn't get a satisfying response. I don't think there is a way to detect that. So you have to try, and if it fails, it doesn't send. Okay, it's a little bit annoying, but you can detect if there is no NFC chip, which would mean that the device is null and then you have to give up immediately. Okay, let's add a button to send. So here in my details page, I'm going to add a button to the application bar. Here, I'm going to use the share icon. Send, and here, same thing as before, send click. Here we are, make sure to save everything. Now I have my send click here, and when I send, what I'm going to do is set the UI to disabled. I'm going, in case I was already publishing the message, I'm going to stop it. So you have to understand that NFC is a two-step operation, right? First, you publish a message, and then you wait for the contact. And when you have contact, then the message is going to be exchanged, okay? So I have the possibility to publish a message and then nothing happens. So in case the user taps on send again, I want to stop publishing that message. And then I'm going to get a fresh copy of the serial of the friend. And then I'm going to publish the message with this key here. Okay? Now, on the Windows 8 device, what I did is exactly the opposite thing. So I have also the proximity device. And instead of having publish message, what I'm going to handle is subscribe for message. Subscribe for message is going to wait for contact, and then it's going to check if I have a message with the key windows.galasov.friend. Good, now I need to take care of a couple of things. First, when the contact is broken, which is when the device departed event is called, I want, of course, to reset everything to normal, because it means, okay, the message has been sent, I remove my phone, device departed is called, and then I'm going to re-enable my UI. Notice that I do that using the dispatcher helper, because all those sensor events are on the background thread, pretty much every one of them. So you want to dispatch that back to your UI, otherwise you will have a cross-thread access exception. Okay. Good, and then of course I also want to restore everything when I navigate away from the page. Okay, so if the user presses on the buttons, but then he doesn't do the tap, he navigates away, I'm going to re-enable and stop publishing the message. Okay, now to demo that, I cannot demo that on the emulator, because the emulator doesn't support NFC, so I'm going to show you that using my phone. So here I'm going to start the recipient application, which as I said is a Windows 8 app. On the phone, I'm going to go to the application with my list of friends. We'll see a bigger version of the emulator later. I'm going to select my daughter Leticia, and then I'm going to tap on the share button. So now my phone is publishing the message and waiting. On the Windows 8 app, I'm going to tap on receive. Now the Windows 8 app is waiting. And now when I tap them, the transmission happens. So that's pretty cool. And quite simple, really. You can transmit all kinds of information. You can transmit information which will force the device to start an application. Okay? You can transmit information which is going to force the device to pair Bluetooth, and then you can exchange data with Bluetooth. You can pair them over Wi-Fi. You can send URIs, you can send really all kinds of things, okay? Good, so that's fun. Let's go back to the code, and now I'm going to show you how to do some speech. Now speech is, honestly, I was blown away how easy it is to make your phone speak. So I have I did prepare my thing, but I didn't plug it in, so here you go. Okay, so speech, I prepared a small app here which is going to demonstrate voice commands. So you can have speech in two directions. You can have your application talking, and you can talk to your app. And this works in the emulator, by the way, which is pretty convenient. So now I'm going to start this app in the emulator. Then I'm just going to type something here. For example, hello, The Hague, how are you today? Then when I tap on the microphone here.
Hello, The Hague, how are you today?
Okay. Honestly, couldn't be simpler, right? And it's literally one line of code. I'm going to show you that. That works with voices. So if you have voices installed, like for example, I have the French voice installed for some reason on my phone, I can switch my language to French, and then it's going to use the French guy is a male for some reason. So it's going to, a guy is going to talk to me in French. Okay? So that's really simple. Now it works in both directions, like I mentioned. So I also have some voice commands. Okay? So for example, if I go here, The prefix for the voice command for this application is speech. So I'm going to say speech. Then I'm going to say a command, which is say. And then I'm going to pass a parameter, which is something or hello. Okay? So let's try that. To activate, you will press long on the start button. Then it's going to ask you to confirm. This is the first time you have to accept, just the first time. Speech, say hello. It's a bad sign. So what it does here is actually connect to the network. You need to have network to have that, because it's using some network services to do the speech recognition.
Can't access the network right now.
Great. Okay, let me see if I can fix that quickly. Is it actually... I didn't have connection, why not? That's annoying. Sorry? It will come by itself, you think? Okay, so we'll just wait. So I'm going to show you the code and we'll try again in a moment. So the code is really simple. If you want to have your phone speak, what you need is here a speech synthesizer and in the click here, you do await speak text async. And that's it. So really cannot be simpler. Now if you want the commands, the voice commands to work, that's a little bit more complicated. You need to declare here a voice command.xml. So you do file add new item. And then in the Windows phone list, there is here voice command definition, which is what you want. And here what you are going to do is define some command set. So for example, when it's English, the command prefix is speech. And then there is an example, so it's just going to show you an example if you check for this command. And then you define a command, which in that case is say. There is also an example for that. And then the syntax is say, and then a parameter. The phone is going to tell you one moment, that's the feedback that I define. And then it's going to navigate to a page, which by default is the main page. Okay? Now you could have some commands which don't navigate. If you are already inside the application, for example, you can have a command, so you avoid here the prefix, and then you directly speak to your app. Or you could navigate to a separate page, to a different page if you want to do something special. The parameters have to be defined as well. Now this is a simple version of the voice commands. In addition to that, you can define some grammar files. I'm not going to go into that because it should be a session for itself. It's quite complex. Where there is really a file where you can define a whole grammar, and then your phone is going to understand you even better. Those are simple commands which are enough to send messages, etc. And here I define something for the French as well. So when does it come back by itself? Okay, what do I do? Well, I say I'm just going to implement that into the phone app, and then we'll see what we do. Maybe we'll restart the emulator, but it's going to take a moment to restart. So yeah, let's do that. I'm going to restart the emulator. Do I have internet? That's the first thing I can check. Yes, I do. So it's really my emulator, which is messed up. Here we go. Control-Shift-F5. Let the emulator start. I'm going to put the code here for the moment. So for the text, what I'm going to do is inside the details page, here I'm going to declare the synthesizer. Here we go. And then I'm going to add a button. Same thing as before, application bar, icon button. I'm going to use a small microphone icon for that. Microphone, read click. Okay. And then read click is just like before, is going to be very simple. The only thing I need to do is make that async. Here we go. And already I have that. So I'm going to speak the message. I can show you that. It's not ready yet. I'll do the demo later. Okay, now the next thing I want to show you is background tasks and how you can have your application perform some features while it's not running. So to do that, I need to add a new project. Let's do here, add new project. And I'm going to select here a schedule task agent. Now, there are a few things that you can do with agents. Like you can do some playback if you have a file, a video, well, not a video, but an audio file which is running. You can run it in the background. And then, like this, you can do something else while the music is playing. You can do some streaming. So if you have some streaming from the net, you can use that. And the schedule task agent. The schedule task agent is going to run every 30 minutes. Okay? It's not like clockwork, so don't really rely on that being, 30 minutes exactly, but it's going to run as it can, except in some circumstances. So the user can block your app from running, that's in the settings, or maybe if you have the energy saver, the battery saver on, then the background tasks are not going to run. So you need to take that in account, okay? Now what this creates is here a schedule agent. And here you have the invoke method, which is going to be called every 30 minutes, where you can do your work. The work you can do can be maximum approximately 15 seconds. Okay, 15 seconds is quite long, but it's not eternity. If you have something which is resource intensive, there is another type of task that you can run. But this one is more annoying because it's running only when you have external power and Wi-Fi, not over data connection. So this here is a simple task. And what I'm going to do here is add a helper class. And this helper class is a scheduler. It's just a class that I use every time that I do these kind of things. So the scheduler defines the name of the task. It has to be unique for the phone. Then it's going to have a start periodic, which is going to be called when the application exits. It's going to try to find the task name. If it is already available, remove it, create a new one. This description here is important because the user can see that in the settings in order to understand what your task is doing. I'm setting an expiration time of 5 hours. I don't have to, okay? The task is going to expire automatically after 14 days if the user didn't restart the application. After 14 days, the phone gives up, pretty much. But for 14 days, you're good. Then I'm going to add that to the task, and I'm going to launch it for tests because we don't have half an hour to wait. So I can launch it for test every minute, and then it's going to hit. That's going to work only if the application is sideloaded on the phone, so if it's a developer device. Okay, as soon as you load that from the store, that's not going to run, and it's going to run every 30 minutes like intended. I have a few possible errors. For example, if it's disabled by the user, or if you have the maximum number of scheduled actions, which as far as I know is 18. On the phone. Then I have stop periodic to stop the task. And if I stop the task, I'm going to reset my main tile because I'm going to use in on invoke, I'm going to write some stuff to the tile. So here I'm just resetting. And that's pretty much it. Now on invoke, what do we do here? The first thing we are going to do is create the data service. Now, in order to get access to the data service, I need to add a reference to this model library, which is why I have put that code into a separate library. So I'm going to add here a reference to the phonedemo.model. Now I can use here the data service. Then I'm going to await service.getFriends. I'm going to get some information from the isolated storage settings. Now here it's a little bit dirty. I'm not saving the list of friends to the phone to keep things simple. I'm simply going to save the count. So I'm just going to compare the count and see if something changed. Now in the production application, you would actually save your whole friends list serialized to the phone, but here I'm not doing that. Let's add the key here before I forget. Then, what I'm going to do is compare the list count and the saved friend counts. If something changed, I'm going to show a toast. I'm going to show that to you. And then I'm going to show information on the main tile. The main tile is activeTiles.first. That's the main one, okay, which is on the screen. And then I'm going to update it with the count, which is going to be shown in the small little bubble. And then the title on the back, I'm just going to write a text which is going to force the tile to flip. Okay? You can also show an image. So if you pass a URI here, which can be either from the web or locally, you can show images, which is pretty cool. Then I'm going to save the new list count in the settings. Finally, I'm going to restart here to relaunch the task for 1 minute again for test purposes, just to see it hit every minute. Good, showing the toast is very simple. So the toast is this thing that you get on top, for example, when you get an SMS or you get a new direct message in some Twitter applications, you have a toast, the phone will ring with the SMS warning sound. And to show that, it's very easy, you do a shell toast. You set a title, which is going to appear first in bold, and then you set the content, which is going to appear next to that. You have only one line, so you just have a few words. You cannot show too much. After that, it's going to be clipped. And then you call show. Finally, I need to save the settings. So saving the settings here, I'm going to check if the settings already exist. If yes, I overwrite. If no, I add. And then I call save. If you don't call save, it doesn't save, which is a bug I spent a few minutes to look for a few days ago. Okay, now I'm going to have to start this scheduler agent. So what I'm going to do is add a reference to that library inside my application. Solution, phone demo agent here. And then I'm going to go into app.xaml.cs. I'm going to create here the scheduler. And this is a phone demo.agent.scheduler. I'm going to create that in the constructor. And then I'm going to go into those application events where I have launching, activated, etc. And this is where I will here, notice that I'm doing that with a begin invoke, meaning that I'm going to wait until really the application is exiting before I do. And here I'm going to call stop periodic. Here in that case it's activated, so I'm going to wait until the application is up because I don't want to delay the main page from appearing. So I wait until it's shown, and then because of the begin invoke, it's going to wait until all those operations are finished, and then it's going to do the operation of stopping the periodic task. Same thing if it's here. Same thing if it's launching. Here we go. And then I'm going into the deactivated. I'm going to start the periodic task, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that into the closing as well. Stop scrolling. Closing, here we go. Okay. Good. So now we can build that. And we can hope that the internet god is with us now. Oops. Oh, yes. One thing you need to do, because I'm using in my agent
in my agent, I'm using the model. I also need a reference to the Galasoft.mvvmlite assembly. So I'm going to browse for it. And because I downloaded everything through NuGet, it's going to be available here into the packages. MVVMLite libs, lib, going to take the Windows Phone 8 version, and I just need that one here. Okay, let's see if I can build now. While it's building, I'm going to check if I have internet now on my emulator. I think it looks better. Yay, cool. Okay, so now we can test. So what I'm going to do is Control-Shift-F5. Start that in the emulator. Now, there are a few things I wanted to show you. So the first thing is that you can click and refresh. It's going to load the friends. You can navigate here. Oh, navigate. I forgot navigate. Let's do that quickly. Navigate, I have this show details command, remember? So I'm going to add here an event to command in the data template. And then I'm going to call the command. So here, let's go into the data template. Edit item template, edit current. I'm going to pull here from the behaviors an event to command. Here we go. Make sure that your grid has a transparent background and not null, because if it's null, it's not going to react to touch. But if it's transparent, it's going to react to touch. Okay? So like this, you increase the touch area of your phone, and then you make the user experience better. So now I have my event to command here. I'm going to handle the tap event, not mouse left button down, because it's too sensitive. Tap is really a tap, while mouse left button down reacts also when you do a scroll, which is no good. Okay? So you want here to handle the tap event. And then I'm going to bind here to the command on the main view model. So I go through static resource locator. I take my main view model, and I go to show details. Show details needs a friend. So in Blend, what you do is that you select here command parameter. And what I want to write here is an empty binding. I want curly bracket, binding, curly bracket. So in Blend, what I do is that I select here custom, and then I leave the path empty, because the data context of the data template is the friend. So I want to use that as a parameter. Okay? Say it okay. And now if I rebuild. Unfortunately, I won't have time to show you the mapping. I'm super sorry, but my time is running up. I'll give you the source code anyway. I'll give you a slide where you can see my blog address. The source code is going to be there during the weekend, probably. So check it out. And mapping is really cool. It's nice to have a full GPS in your pocket. Okay, let's run this, and I will do the test. Good. So now I have my friends appearing. I can go here to my daughter. I can read.
I love my daddy.
Cool. The other one says that.
Come back home now.
Because I've been traveling for a few weeks now, so I'm ready to go home. Anywho, so you see that it's working just fine. And the task, so the background task, what I'm going to do now is exit. Okay, so now my task is starting. And I'm going to push a new friend to the list using Postman. Now this new friend is me. I'm friending myself. Let's click on send. I get an ID back, 91, that's a new friend ID. And now we just have to wait 1 minute to see if it's going to work. The phone is going to ring, so you're going to hear the small SMS sound. And while we wait, Let's go back here quickly to the slides just to finish. So in recapitulation, what did we see? So the first thing we saw is NuGet. Okay, NuGet is really nice. It's a nice way to handle dependencies. It can cause issues. Do you hear? Ding-ding-ding. Okay, so now let's switch. You see, the friends list have changed. My toast is showing. And if I have the towel on the main screen. Oh, sorry about that. That's the new Outlook. When you switch back, it doesn't restore. So I'm going to start to pin to start here. Now, you didn't see the toast, unfortunately, but it was here. And here we have the new number, which is 35. I have 35 friends now. Before I had 34. And you see it flipped, and now it showed the message on the back dial. Okay? What I can do maybe is reset, and like this it's going to... So now I'm sending a reset to the service. So now it's going to show the toast again, and this time if we are fast enough, we'll see it. Okay, so recap. NuGet is pretty cool to handle dependencies. It's really a nice way to have that. Make sure you have the latest version. Okay, let's be quick now. Quick, 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 quick. 1 minute, huh? When you wait, it's super long. Okay, see the toast? Okay, it was fast, but you just saw it, right? If you tap on the toast, your application is going to start, which is nice. Good. So NuGet, very cool. JSON easy with JSON.NET especially. Or anything else, really. MVVM, still the key for XAML apps, and really design time data, fantastic. Do the design in Blend, it's really cool. Speech, very easy. When you use your keywords, your commands, avoid those, because those are reserved by the system. Okay? So call, dial, start, open, find, search, text, note, and help. But anything else is free to grab. We have... NFC. So NFC is very compatible, which is nice. It's very compatible with Windows 8. It's exactly the same code, one-to-one. So that's a sign of what's coming to us. Background tasks, easy to implement. Well, a little bit more complex than anything else that we did, really. 15 seconds maximum. They run for 14 days. Of course, renewable, but if your application doesn't run. 30 minutes interval. You cannot use microphone, camera. Of course not. You cannot spy people. Sensors, except the location sensor. You can get location in a background task, which is nice. You can use tiles, toast, ether store, everything. Mapping, so unfortunately, I didn't have time to show you that. One thing you need to worry about mapping is getting an application ID and an authentication token from Microsoft before you publish your app. You don't need that for development time, but when you publish, you need to put that. And also, mapping apps can now run in the background. If you come to me after the session is done, because now I have to give my spot here, I'll show you how you can make the application run in the background, which is nice. I have a whole slide of sessions, so of resources, so you can get that later. And finally, I just have to thank you for your attention and your patience with a few technical issues I had. I will put all the source code on my blog, blog.galasov.ch, probably over the weekend if I have time. And if you have questions, I invite you to come to me while I pack. Thank you very much for your attention, and have fun developing. Thank you.